All right, Kevin Barker. Well, no need to talk about run prevention tonight. If you like lots of offense, this was your game. 7 home runs, 20 hits, but the Blue Jays losing to the Tampa Bay Rays 11-9 in the first of a 3-game series, first game of this homestand. It is Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. We are Blue Jays Talk. The numbers, as always, 416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, star 590. If you want to reach us via the text line, 590-590 is the number. Standard message and data rates may apply. So, Kevin, 4 home runs for the Jays, 2 by Dalton Varsho. Jeff Hoffman giving up 5 runs in the 9th inning, that 5-run inning, lifting the Rays, ultimately lifting them to victory. Junior Caminero with the grand slam. Let's address Jeff Hoffman. First of all, even the best closers in the game do have innings like this. Chris LaRue doing the analysis on the radio, talking about some of the pitch selection on the part of Jeff Hoffman tonight.
Yeah, well, we've seen this before, right? We saw it, you know, a couple outings ago when he threw the 3 sliders in a row to the bottom of the lineup when he don't have to do it. His fastball is electric. You know, I couldn't agree more with Chris. I don't understand throwing the 8-hole hitter a 3-2 slider. I don't get it. Doesn't make any sense. Or 3-2 split finger. Sorry, that was not competitive. You got a good heater. He's hitting at the bottom of the lineup for a reason. Like, attack him, it's one out. I mean, if you walk him, at least you're throwing a pitch that you think you can control and get it in a decent location. I mean, it is true, there is never a fastball count, but holy moly, like, to say that the adjustments occasionally when it comes to pitch selection need to be made, that's the one thing that needs to be addressed. The stuff's really good. I mean, you can't argue that. I mean, you know, the way he acts on the mound's fine. It's just that pitch selection occasionally to the bottom of the lineup. You can understand doing that to a 3-hole hitter. Mm-hmm. But a dude in the 8-hole after you punched out the guy in front of him, that for me, I just don't understand. And then, you know, sometimes, again, you do things that you shouldn't be doing. The baseball gods make you pay for it. Caminero with the granny on the hanging slider, that was a little middle end, missing location. So, yeah, I mean, that's a tough loss after all the home runs had been hit, the at-bats. I've said this, let them throw it down the middle. Every one of them homers were middle down, middle in, or middle. Like, let them. You let them, you're going to have a really good chance to slug. I said this, they can slug if they let them throw a ball down the middle, no matter how hard you throw it. Mechanically, now these guys should be where they need to be. Now it's just getting your pitch, allowing the pitcher to throw you one down the middle. You do it, you'll have a chance. This is something they can build off of. But man alive, these are games you got to win, Jeff. I mean, yep. It's just at home, you got the lead, you fight and clawed back. You had one of your better hitters run into one, something you hadn't been doing really all year. Boy, this is a tough one. Hopefully they can come back from it tomorrow.
Yeah, the Jays did mount a rally of their own in the 9th inning with back-to-back doubles. I'm sorry, 3 doubles. Miles Straw, Bo Bichette, who hit a home run tonight, and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. But ultimately, Anthony Santander striking out, George Springer walking, then Mason Montgomery coming in and inducing Dalton Varsho to fly out to end the game. Kevin, Dalton Varsho, a big game. A couple of home runs, a 3-run blast off the facing of the 500 deck. Don't look now, but Dalton Varsho in what, 8 games, 9 games is tied for the team lead in home runs.
Yeah, I mean, that fluidity of the lower half is a big deal for him, right? I mean, it's not start and stop. When you start, stop, and start again, things with your barrel do that you don't want it to do. And then you have big, giant holes. You don't have small holes. You got big, giant holes. Now he's able to kill mistakes. That's what you want to give yourself a chance to do, is when you force the guy to make a mistake, you got to be able to mechanically hammer it and make him pay for it. Now it just looks to me like it's free and easy. He's not overthinking it. See ball, hit ball. I mean, really, sometimes it's that simple. That's sort of what you see. And so hopefully they can carry on and continue to score runs. I mean, again, the closer ain't going to give up runs like this all the time. But this is one of them games. Maybe we, you know, hopefully don't look back at and go, man alive. If they'd won that game, that might have been a little closer. So, you know, you sort of wash it. You try and move on. You gain from the things you're doing well. You know, 1 through 9 in the lineup, other than Vladdy, You know, Vladdy had the big RBI double, you know, there in the ninth inning. But up until that point, it had been a struggle for him. Everybody else just seems like they turned the page to getting better pitches to hit. They're giving themselves a chance. A lot of the guys are using the entire field, which we haven't seen a lot of. So give them credit. I mean, they're passing the baton with those good quality ABs. They continue to do that. They'll win more games than they lose.
Yeah, the Jays, as we mentioned, ending their four-game winning streak. They are 20-21. The Rays, 19-22. Old friend Danny Jansen wrote himself large in this game. A home run for Danny Jansen. And three runs scored. He got on base three times. He's got that, what is it, an 18-game on-base streak going now?
Yeah. Like, I mean, that's what you do to hanging sweepers. You hit 80. Them to the moon.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you do with them.
416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590, 590-590 is a text line. Jay in Toronto, you're on Blue Jays Talk. What's up, Jay?
Hey, how are you guys doing tonight?
Good, thanks.
Good. I guess you guys already touched on it. I was just talking about Hoffman's pitching sequence, and you know, he has like a 99-mile fastball. Why was he just lobbing those sliders in there? It's almost like he's reading from the same playbook as Jordan Romano. Comes out of the ninth and keeps on blowing it again and again. I mean, it was less than a week. Angel, he did the same thing. He has such a good fastball. Why is he just keep on lobbing these 80-mile sliders and split fingers? It's like, oh, my goodness. I'm just getting a heart attack from this.
Well,
I don't know.
Yeah, welcome to the world of a closer. Thanks, Jay. The walk to Travis Jankowski, you made the point, Kevin. I have no idea. He threw, what, two off-speed pitches in that at bat? I have no idea. You could throw 98, 99. Eighth hole hitter. I mean, you've got to go after the guy. I don't know. Chris posited, and I'm not making excuses for the guy, but this is the first time that he has been the closer, and maybe he's got to realize his fastball's really good. And don't be afraid to shake to the fastball, especially in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, they're hitting 125 off his slider. I mean, he's throwing his slider some against righties because nobody's hitting it. It's his split finger's been getting hammered, right? He's aiming it, or, you know, a certain sequences that he's throwing it in. You know, tonight was one of those times where just a slider and a count to a young kid who, you know, sometimes against kids, you know, you don't want to throw them fastballs. You want to throw them something slow. Like that, you know, again, it's like the older they are, right, the harder you throw to them. The younger they are, the more you throw secondary stuff to them. It's sort of, you know, baseball 101. It's just location of those things. When he locates them, you're out. When he doesn't execute them, throw them where he wants to throw them, he's basically like everybody else. You know, the velocity on fastballs is not a surprise anymore, Jeff. You know, the hitters now can do whatever they need to do to fight those off, to take them, like compete against velocity. Now it's the secondary stuff. You got to command it. You got to locate it. And when you don't, you pay for it. And it's just the part of the lineup, I think, to the caller's point, that sometimes it's just head scratching. You know, again, you attack the top of the lineup differently than you attack the bottom of the lineup. And we've even heard the manager say that one time when he threw the bottom of the lineup guy three sliders in a row, why are you doing that? Like, those are sequences that you really don't have to do just because of what the caller was saying, how good the heater is. But, you know, it is sometimes you mislocate, you fall behind. Again, I've said this, baseball gods make you pay for it. It's exactly what happened.
What'd you make of Jose Berríos' start tonight?
Yeah, I think other than the third inning, right, he lost his lanes on the changeup and the sinker arm side. Yeah, I think that's sort of what it is, right? Occasionally we'll see him do that. He gets a little bit into, he's not finishing his pitches, not staying his lanes. He's a big lane guy, right? I mean, you got to start it in a certain lane for it to end up where he wants it to end up. You know, he relies on a lot of movement. It ain't stuff so much as movement and the lane that he's trying to start it in to where he wants to ultimately have it end up. You know, sometimes the change up because of the lane ends up middle instead of down and away, a little bit of sink. You know, he's trying to sort of front hip the two-seamer. He wants to backdoor the two-seamer. Like, all the lanes in that third inning, for whatever reason, he lost. I mean, give him credit. He self-corrected after that. He didn't let that inning fester and sort of, you know, dictate the rest of his outing. He gave the lineup a chance. I mean, it worked out sort of exactly the way it was supposed to work out. You could argue and yell about that third inning. I'm not going to. I think he self-corrected enough, which will tell you that he knows when it's going right how it's supposed to feel. If you know that, you could self-correct quicker and don't let it fester. That's exactly what he did because he's a pro.
Hitting the leadoff hitter in that inning, Danny Jansen, is that a sign to you? Was that an early sign to you that he lost his lane a little bit?
Well, I mean, that's arm side, right? I mean, that's sort of the thing where the ball gets to moving so much is, again, it's just the finish. That's why he simplified it. That's why he don't have a windup anymore. That's why he's standing on certain parts of the rubber is so he can get it in the lane. He can have it go where he wants it to go, and his misses will be more competitive and less non-competitive. When they're non-competitive, the counts go up. I can, as a hitter, zone you up. I can eliminate half of the plate. Like, you can sort of have a better competition against him if he's not in his lanes when it comes to just the movement on his changeup and his slurve and the two-seamer. Again, I'd say this, every once in a while, you just lose it. He lost it. He got it back on track. He gave him a chance.
416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590, 590, the text line. The Blue Jays, 11-9 losers to the Tampa Bay Rays tonight. They will do it again tomorrow night at the Rogers Center. A reminder that Thursday's game, the final game of the series, is an afternoon game. Guy in Toronto, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, guys, it's been a minute. Gosh, Tampa's like the version of the Brewers back in the 80s. Like, you just never seem to beat them. Like, they always seem to have our number. It's really unusual. But I'll say one thing. It's nice to see the bats going. Like, if Dalton could be that, you know, that guy that provides another 25 to 30 homers, and, you know, if he can get his average up to 250, this guy's going to get paid. You know, he's playing really well, but the reason I'm calling in, and this might be more for Barker, the guys in the TV broadcast mentioned that Hoffman wasn't up until Clement was up at the plate after the Varsho homer, and I don't know how many minutes or how many throws you need in the bullpen to warm up, but I felt like you had Garcia ready to go, and when they brought in Hoffman, I was a little worried that, you know, maybe he wasn't going to have it because he didn't have enough warm up pitches. So I guess my question is, you know, how many minutes or how many throws in the bullpen do you need? And do you think maybe they should have just stuck with Garcia to go in on the ninth? I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good call, Guy, and that's, you know, really aware of what's going on when it comes to just trying to get the right guy up at the right time. Remember now, Hoffman's your closer. You got to, you know, you want to get the guy off to a really good start. You want him to stay sort of where you want him to be, so when you go to him, he's giving you your best stuff. You know, it was – John was trying to line it up to where, you know, if it stayed a two-run deficit, you're bringing in one guy. If it was tied or probably a one-run deficit, you're bringing in Garcia. That's why you had two dudes getting loose. And then sort of Varsho screwed it up by running into one, and now you got to hurry up and get your closer loose. You know, again, Guy, I think – the thing you got to hang your hat on is he punched out the first guy pretty easy, right? I mean, you got to remember that. It was just the pitch sequencing. It didn't have anything to do with his stuff, right? I mean, his velocity on his heater was really good. It had late explosion to it. I just think, for me, it's the sequencing. I mean, that's a really good job on your part of paying attention. I just, man alive, I think, again, you got to remember, Garcia's your eighth inning guy. Hoffman's your ninth inning guy. When you get the lead there, you need that dude to be raring and ready to go. You know, I'd love to make that an excuse for him. I just don't think you can because of the way he made the first guy look.
No, and we had Hazel in studio with us, Hazel May in studio with us earlier today, Kevin. And one of the things she said, she talked about that last game in Seattle and how, was it Seattle where John Schneider didn't think he would necessarily, or they didn't think Hoffman would be ready or would be available, and Hoffman essentially said before the game, you know, no, if it's a save situation, I'm in. I'm the closer. Yeah. If it's a save situation, I'm in. I think it was the last game against Seattle they were talking about. So, yeah, I'm with you. That's automatic to me. And if, you know, if he had come in and thrown 95, 96, or, you know, having a difficult time locating the fastball or getting velo on it, then I might have felt that way. But I'm with you. I mean, I think it was pitch sequence more than anything else.
You got to remember. You got to remember too. Garcia's had 3 full days off between the outings.
Fair point.
Right. I mean, if there would be any time that you'd allow him to go out for the 9th inning with a 1-run lead, I would think it would be that time. But again, that's why you gotta, as a pitching coach and a manager, have really good feel for what's going on with your 8th and 9th inning guy. And to have both of them available, again, it's just that thing, right? 8th inning, 9th inning. You got a 9th inning guy and an 8th inning guy. So for me, I think there you just gotta blame more of the pitcher than you do anything else. He just didn't make the right pitch at the right time.
Yeah, and you know, again, it's unless you're Mariano Rivera. That's going to happen to you if you're a closer. You know, you don't want it to happen.
I guess.
You don't want it to happen 7 times a year. Well, but I'm with you. The questionable –
we've seen it before.
The questionable pitch selection, that concerns me.
Part of the order. Why are you throwing it?
Yeah.
That's it.
And, again, shake to your fastball. I mean, you're the guy holding the ball. You know? This is Jay's manager, John Schneider. Questioned about Jeff Hoffman, and we'll get back to the text line because a couple of folks in the text line wanted to talk about Jeff Hoffman as well. This is John Schneider.
Not really. I mean, I think his stuff is pretty consistent. You know, it's a really close pitch with 2 strikes, a fastball to Jankowski, probably could have went either way. No, nothing really. You know, I think that the ball that Caminero hit out was like 3 balls inside, you know, just trying to overcorrect maybe a little bit on balls that were down and away, but I mean, his stuff has been consistent all year, you know, and he's done more than his fair share of helping us win games so far, and I got nothing but trust in him going forward.
That is John Schneider, and on the text line, Claudio in King City wants to know, should Hoffman have been removed when it was 7-7? He was struggling. He wants to know if he should have pinch hit for Varsho in the 9th when the lefty came in.
Yeah, he hit 2 homers already.
He hit 2 homers, yeah, no. Yeah. And Todd in Newfoundland, Cash Beach Schneider knows when to pull the plug when the closer obviously didn't have it. I mean, again, I don't know if the closer didn't have it. I think the closer had it. He just didn't use it.
John mentioned the fastball could have went either way. I think he's talking about pitch 6.
Yes.
It wasn't the 3-2 split finger he was talking about. He was talking about the 2-2 fastball that was middle away. That was just, you know, it could have went either way. I think that was the pitch he's talking about because it sort of raised the red flag when John was talking about, you know, the last pitch there that could have went either way. I think he's talking about the 6 pitch instead of the 8
pitch. I think it was that 98 pitch or something like that.
Yeah, it was. So, yeah, it was.
And I thought, I mean, again, going by the box and the TV set, which doesn't mean jack, but we might as well use it.
Everything.
It was a ball. So it was, you know, it could have gone either way, but what I'm saying, it wasn't egregious. It wasn't one of those things you throw your hands in the air and go, my God, that was a horrible call. But
it's just when you miss with the four-seamer at 97-3 and then you throw him 2 split fingers after that and he's the 8-hole hitter.
Yeah.
Why are you throwing 2 split fingers after that? After the 9, it just that's the point, right? Again, it's not about his stuff. His stuff's electric, and when he's locating, he's almost unhittable. It's just when he ain't unhittable, now you got to make sure that you're throwing the right pitch at the right time. Is that a catcher thing? Is that a, you know, maybe somebody in the dugout needs to start calling pitches, which will be really hard. The amount of money you're paying that dude to now all of a sudden start trying to tell him what to throw in certain situations. I just think, you know, it's
well, you got pitch
when you're watching it and you got an 8-hole hitter there, if you get beat on your best heater, tip your hat to him and say good job next time you're going to get it again. Sometimes I think that part of it will just sort of make him not sleep well at night, and I'm sure it won't.
11-9, the Blue Jays have lost the first game of the series to the Tampa Bay Rays. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. 590-590 is the text line. You have Jeff Blair. You have Kevin Barker for a few more minutes. Don't let it go to waste. It's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
What do you make of the sort of the drama on the daily that this team experiences?
Man, seems like a lot, you know, 41 games in, but, you know, such is life in the big leagues. It's kind of weird. You know, you could think right now there's probably five or six games that you think, okay, we should have won that one. That's why you play 27 outs. You know, you never know what's going to happen. There seems like there has been a roller coaster of stuff, but it's fun. You know, it sucks when days like today happen. But I can't say enough how much I love the way that the guys went about it and the way they're going about it. You know, I think we're a tight-knit group that's playing really well. And you take today for what it is, and you move on to tomorrow.
That was Jay's manager, John Schneider, talking after tonight's 11-9 loss to the Tampa Bay Rays. And I guess the saving grace for the Jays, as we've talked about it all year long, is there's a lot of parity, shall we say, in the American League.
Jeez.
Which takes us, by the way, to the Bet365 standings update. At Bet365, you can bet in popular markets like hits, home runs, and total bases. Download the app and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 19+. Play responsibly. Ontario only. Before we get to the baseball, in the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Winnipeg Jets and Connor Hellebuck again choking it away on the road. They're losing 3-1. To the Dallas Stars, an outcome as predictable as just about any you are going to see this year.
You need a hug?
I don't need a hug. I'm prepared for this. And with that, as we look at the baseball standings, we talked about the American League, and particularly the American League East. Now, of course, the Rays with their win tonight, they are 19-22. The Jays are 20-21. The Boston Red Sox losing 10-9 to the Detroit Tigers. Mm-hmm. In 11 innings tonight, the Baltimore Orioles were rained out in Minnesota. They will make that up as a doubleheader. And the New York Yankees are currently scoreless with the Seattle Mariners. If you are interested at all, Max Fried is 6-0 going into that game. Ooh. And boy, oh boy, if it, I've been joking and saying the best team in the American League is that Aaron Judge. Well, Max Fried is very much a part of that as well. So the American League East standings are as follows with the Yankees playing. The Yankees are 24-17, and there's a whole bunch of mediocrity right underneath them. The Red Sox are 22-22. Barker's Blue Jays are 20-21. Barker's Rays are 19-22. Wow. And Barker's Orioles are 15-24. The Tigers,
I don't want them.
The Tigers, by the way, 28-15. They are the next team coming into Toronto. Ooh. to take on the Blue Jays. So, as my friend Mr. Barker says, stay hot. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590-590 is the text line. Again, the Jays 11-9 losers tonight to the Tampa Bay Rays. Danny Jansen. We interviewed Danny before the show today. We talked about he's now got an 18-game on-base streak. Mm-hmm. I think with tonight's performance, he may have dragged his average up around 170.
Wow. You didn't have to say that.
I know. Well, I mean, Danny knows.
He hit a homer. Say
he
that.
He knows Whelan. Well, he did hit a homer. It also happens to be the first hit given
well,
up.
Say
to,
that.
Given
don't
up by,
you don't have to say 170.
Well, whatever it is. Just a guess. He also happened to collect the first hit by a right-hander off Mason Fluharty this year. Mason Fluharty, I think, was 0-for-28, 0-for-29 coming into that at-bat. Again, that was going to end at some point.
Yeah.
Just not certain that Danny would have been the guy who would predict
you
that
don't
to happen.
So, huh?
Two home runs for Danny this year.
Well, I mean, again, look, you don't throw the sweeper where it needs to be, like back foot to a righty. They go back Lake City. That is an easy homer. You catch that thing out front, create a little backspin. That pitch is doing all the work for you. I mean, it's already spinning. All you got to do is redirect it and pull it, and you got a good chance of it going out of the yard, and that's what happened.
Well, the offensive hero tonight for the Blue Jays was clearly Dalton Varsho. Dalton Varsho with a couple of home runs. He was at the plate in the ninth inning. With a couple of runners on, representing the go-ahead or possibly winning run, and he flied out to end the game. This was Dalton Varsho talking about his continued performance since coming off the IL and how the adjustments he made this spring are continuing to work out.
they're okay. Obviously, I want to cut down the strikeouts a lot, and I've said this for a while. But, you know, it's just one of those things where you're coming back and you're trying to face big league pitching, and, you know, it's a little hard right away. So giving myself a little bit of grace with that and knowing that I'm eventually going to turn it around with not striking out as much. But, you know, I like my at-bats. So I'm a little frustrated on the last one, but, you know, it's hard to time 100 mile an hour from the lefty and still be able to hit the slider. But just one of those guys where – so honestly, one of those nights where all the way up and down through the lineup, we had a good game, and it's just frustrating.
Yeah, Mason Montgomery, boy, is he a ray, hey?
Yeah.
100 miles an hour from the left side, 99 miles an hour from the left side. Stay hot. Again, we talked about Dalton Varsha, though, Kevin. 5 home runs in 9 games, tied for the team lead with a couple of other guys. Look, I think it was in spring training when Ross Atkins, or it might have been Mark Shapiro, was asked about continuing negotiations with Vladdy on a long-term contract. They mentioned Vladdy. They mentioned Bo. They also mentioned Dalton Varsha as a candidate for a long-term contract. You know, you always accuse me of wanting to give away money.
You give money all the time.
Everybody.
Absolutely.
And
blank checks.
Absolutely. Blank checks. But...
who you picking? Bo or Vladdy? Or Bo or Varsha? Who you picking?
Can Dalton Varsha hit 25 home runs? Dalton Varsha?
Absolutely can. Absolutely. You know, now he's got a chance to hit mistakes. Last year he didn't. I mean, last year it was a miracle that everything lined up. And, you know, he's a collision guy. Collision guy's got to beat the dude to the spot, right? I mean, he ain't going to finesse things. He ain't going to let it travel. He does have good enough bat speed that, you know, occasionally he can let that breaking ball travel, hit that thing maybe to the left center. But most of the time it's up the middle of the pool side. He's trying to collide with the baseball. To be able to consistently do that, you got to get a good pitch to hit, which is middle. Could be middle down, could be middle in, could be a little middle away. You know, the ball up, he's still no likey. Try and force it middle or middle down will give you a really good chance because of what you've done with your lower half to collide with the baseball. And because you got power and you're not overthinking that thing, you got a real good chance of having a good year. So, yeah, hopefully fingers crossed because of all the diving and the running through walls and center, he can keep himself on the field. And offensively, yeah, I mean, maybe he'd be closer to 30 this year, Jeff, than 20. Just because that one little mechanical change with his lower half. Now, for me, he's about, I don't know, 4 months too late when it comes to just whoever's been telling him to do that. It's just mind-boggling, but at least they've, you know, better late than never kind of thing. And now it just seems to me like when you're watching him, you're watching it bat him on TV, you're thinking to yourself, man, you better not throw this thing down the middle. Because if you do, you ain't getting it back. And I'm sure that's a good feeling for him.
Winston in Hawksville on the text line, what a game by Varsha. Get that man signed now. See, Winston,
Well, he's like you.
Winston wants to give everybody. Everybody gets a contract.
I'm going to ask you again.
You get a contract.
I'm going to ask you again. Who did they sign? The shortstop or the center fielder?
Who would I want them to sign?
Not what I said. Who do they sign?
I think probably it's easier to sign the center fielder than the shortstop, don't you?
Cheaper, you think?
Yeah, different stages of their career. I would think so. I would think so.
Which one's more valuable going forward?
I mean,
this is all the questions they're going to have to answer. They're not, in my mind, keeping them both because of what they have to do with the rotation next year. You got to go out and spend more money on that thing. I mean, I know you. You're like, yeah, here's 2 blank checks, baby.
No. Like, I mean, the problem
is. And remember who the center fielder's agent is now.
Yeah, the problem, though, Kevin, is, again, you know, people keep mentioning signed pitchers. There's got to be pitchers to sign. It's not a, you know, before you do that. I mean, I think Varsho's, but hopefully good. Hopefully you're signing good pitchers. I think Varsho's easier to sign. He's a Gold Glove center fielder, you know. Yeah. I mean, I would sign both of them, but that's just me. It's not going to preclude you from doing anything. We're not talking about a team with a $40 million payroll.
You let it play out? If they make the playoffs, they look like they're playing together. They look like one's feeding off the other. You know, sometimes you got to use the eye test.
Well, yeah, there's no rush to sign Dalton.
If you do, you ain't no rush to sign the shortstop either.
Like, well, he's a free agent next year. I don't think Dalton's a free agent next year.
Well,
so,
again.
Right?
Well,
So there's no rush to sign Dalton Varsha. You got him next year.
Don't be in such a hurry.
I'm not. You're talking about one guy who's a free agent and another guy who isn't.
Such a hurry.
Unbelievable. Everybody gets a contract. 11-9, the Blue Jays. They have lost to the what?
Well, I wish you'd have been the GM race. When I was a Jay in 2006.
Oh, no, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Oh, no, you don't.
You'd have paid me.
Yeah, that's not that's not happening. Trust me, that's not happening at all. Yeah, so if you're the Blue Jays, you go home tonight, what are you thinking?
Crap. Like, I mean, what do you want me to say? They lost. I mean, a loss is a loss is a loss. I don't know. Individually, guys have taken step forwards. Bo, all of a sudden, is hitting things everywhere.
I thought you'd be a little more subtler than that. But anyhow, that's it for us. 11-9, the Rays have beaten the Blue Jays. It was a fun game, but it was not a Blue Jays win. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Saint-Jérôme and Saint-Eustache, Quebec. Crown is proud to be Canadian-owned and operated since 1986, so protect your vehicle from rust today at your local Crown Rust Control Center or visit crown.com. Crown, Canada's number one rust protection.